have you always had an interest in the world of finances and money making?
It's a funny story, actually. The first memory I have of this, I'll be big in elementary school, and everyone had to do a picture of themselves in the future and what they wanted to be. So, of course, everyone's doing a firefighter and policeman, as kids do, and the rest of it. And I vividly remember this picture. My teacher to this day, like doing this double take when I gave her this picture, and it was just me. It was, I guess, an adult version of me. My mother's kept this picture, actually, and that's just me standing there in a black suit and black tie, standing next to this side table, and there's just this huge pile of gold on the table. And I said, well, the teacher said, what is this? I said, that's me as a millionaire. So I think, I have to go way back. I don't know what it was. I don't know. But that's probably how it started. And I guess it's not always been, I don't know what it is. It's not really the love of money. I guess I just saw it as that's what, you know, a successful thing. I mean, my dad was a businessman. I had that as a kind of role model, someone who would, you know, go out there and make money, do things. But then I think the school system got hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come across this kind of latent adversity that's kind of poo-poos all your ideas, and instead you get instilled with this message of it's all about getting a safe job, and nobody really tells you how to balance a checkbook, though. So, you know, so I guess I started off the school system with a picture of me as a millionaire, and graduated with this, I've just got to get a job, and I don't really know how to balance, and just, I guess, get into debt, you know.
Right.
And nobody prepared. And so the end, what happened next was, I managed to get good jobs and stuff like that, but I had no clue about money. Mm-hmm. And I rapidly ended up, you know, in a lot of debt, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, that sort of brings up the point, you know, just a general point we talk about quite a lot, about money being taboo, you know. A lot of people emerging out of high school and college, they don't want to talk about money. You know, did you have that same skepticism about making money? Do you feel that's instilled in students?
Yeah, I think so. I think I came out of college in 1988, started working for my dad for a bit, didn't really care for that, and then shortly after that we had quite a bad recession in like 1991, 92.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a bad one, and I think, I mean, I remember becoming quite resentful about money early on, you know, not an uncommon thing. I think everyone has it, you know. They think, you know, it's almost like quasi-socialist, almost like rich people are bad, and you believe in what the movies and the media is telling you, rich people must be corrupt. And basically I was just like that typical person who just, you know, you're just pissed off because you don't have the money.
Right.
Instead of figuring out how can I get it, you know, because you think that, I think that this has a reserve sticker on for other people. But of course, what I didn't know back then is it's really just ignorance, and I was lacking information about how to act, how it could be possible for, and you know, and that's really, you know, where the seeds came from for the business that what we're doing right now, helping others, you know, cross that divide of ignorance that I had to go through. Was like I my dream was still with me from elementary school. I want to make money. I want to be successful, but I don't have the information how to do it. And going back to your point about being a taboo thing, you know, nobody walks into a bookstore that reads a Pixar book that says, you know, how to get rich quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just how to make money. It just seems cheesy, and you must think it's going to be a scam or something, you know. And yet we walk into banks every day, and there are posters on the wall about making money.
Mm-hmm. So going off of that, how and when did you first get involved in the stock market then?
So the stock market's always had a lure for me. Mm-hmm. Because of the prospect of fast money. That just seemed like it's a legal casino that I was living at. I was born and raised in London, so I've been around people that would work in the City of London stock market. And see the money, and also you had to be there in London in like the late 80s as well to see the money that was being made by these like kids, you know. Overnight, so it was just, obviously I think there's that glamorous, intriguing appeal to it. So I started off, I think like a lot of people probably start off, I started off reading like tip sheets or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ended up just keep losing money, and just didn't really know what I was doing. I was at the mercy of other people who I didn't know how good their information was. It never seemed to work out for me. And this went on for quite a long time, actually, until one day I picked up a book by Sean, O'Shaughnessy. O'Shaughnessy wrote the book. The book is like a foot deep, and I don't recommend you read it unless you've got sleeping problems. But and it's just charts and statistics. But this book hooked me because I've just got a very analytical mind, and that didn't bother me. And the thing that's what stood out to me is that most professionals can't even do better than the overall market. And then when I started learning about chart analysis, and that was actually there was this stocks don't move in random patterns. That was when I was hooked, when I could actually see there is a method, there is a science to this. And naturally, when I started making money, I mean, of course, I still had a lot to learn, and that's the sort of things we pass on in our lessons. Like, you know, it's not enough just to know which are the winners. You've got to know when to sell and stop losses and all that other good stuff. But I think that was really the turning point for me. I think it is for everyone. You've got to have a little taste of success to give yourself that proof, I think, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I always see it as if Wall Street has this big wall up, and they don't want, you know, normal people to break through it. And Sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith into, you know, trusting the charts. I mean, charts seem very simple when you look at them at first.
Well, you've got great courses that teach that, like Retirement Underground,
right?
Which I recently gave to my 17-year-old. He was 17 at the time. He's 18 now. Son, to, and next thing you know, he's pumping out, just he's texting me, what do you think of this chart, and his 18-year-old kid's doing, because you know that's what, and it's exactly what you said. Wall Street can't have people learning, knowing, and that going back to how the conversation began, I couldn't cross the ignorance gap, because there is this agenda with the establishment, but of course they don't want you to cross the ignorance gap. They want you to live in ignorance and debt and poverty. The government wants you to stay in this way so that you keep on paying tax forever. They don't want you to retire, obviously, right? The big Wall Street and everything, they don't want you to you know, do what they can do. They want you to rely on them, you know? There's a kind of quiet conspiracy, really, to keep the masses ignorant, in debt, and slaving away forever, because it serves the greater purpose.
I mean, I'm really surprised they don't teach any of this stuff in school.
And you wonder why, because why don't they teach this stuff in school? Because it's really all a big conspiracy to keep you just as worker drones that keep paying tax into the system. It's actually based on something called the Prussian school system, which was really set up for the Industrial Revolution, which actually was. It's really a legacy of the Industrial Revolution, where the establishment, we just need a workforce.
Right.
We don't want to teach you about money and all these other things. We just need you to churn out people that are going to work in our factories. And it hasn't really changed much since those roots.
So if the school system, you know, obviously doesn't teach children about money, balancing a checkbook, etc., you know, how do you talk to your children about money and finances?
Well, I try to, from a very early age, just try and make them appreciate everything, I think. But the conversation starts even before money. We would just start talking about being grateful for stuff. Because when you understand that this thing I've just given you costs money, to respect it, look after it, you know, you understand that things, you know, the value of a dollar. So I think it starts right there. And as soon as they're able, because obviously at very age, you don't really understand the concept of money, you know. But then as soon as they're able to, you know, I think you can just start, you have to fill in the gaps that school doesn't teach, you know. So it's up to parents, unfortunately, to teach the things that we're teaching our students, you know, to pass on to their kids. And one of the things about the Legacy Award, actually, we set that up so that you can actually leave that in your will.
Right, yeah.
And the whole wealth of information that goes with that, you know. So, you know, education isn't very important. And then, but as soon as we're able to, like I said, I gave my son a course on, you know, how to learn how to pick stocks and reading stock charts. And I think getting a job maybe as early as possible, however wealthy you are, send your kids out to go and work in the supermarket or whatever, to understand the value of a dollar. But also, it's about, you know, being not just about frugality and, you know, the value of a dollar, but also to understand that it's not about working hard, it's about working smart, and to leverage every hour of your work rather than, you know, you know, just not be an hourly rate kind of thing. You know, you can you can create an idea, to understand that you could come up with an idea that will, you know, pay your royalties forever, let's say. So it's work. It's that another thing a school doesn't teach. They just say work hard. You know, it's about working smart too.
Now, obviously, you've experienced some success from the stock market, but maybe what would you say to help some other people out who don't know exactly what direction to go in, who are interested in improving their financial situation and maybe getting in the market itself? Or what direction would you?
I think if you were starting, going right back to rewind, to go right, this is a good question, because you go right back to, you know, square one, to, in order to be able to get money to invest in the market, you know, in the first place. So starting from scratch is the first thing is to get, is, you know, to try and get out of debt. You've got a balance sheet and a profit and loss account that's yours, that's about your, you personally, you know, all interest that you're paying is money, is a liability. So the first step is to that was a liberating moment for me when I learned that step one, eliminate debt. And, you know, you just have to start putting money aside, saving, selling stuff. And it's quite, I was counseling someone not that long ago, actually, and he paid off his first $400 he was able to just put in a savings account because he had paid off all his debt. So the second you stop paying other people, the banks, the system that wanted to get you in debt, and start paying, you know, doing, you stop playing their game and start playing yours. Their game is to keep you paying tax, keep you in debt, keep them paying the bank's interest. Stop playing their game. Eliminate the debt, stop paying the interest, start saving. Now you're on the path to your own financial independence. And then once you've got that spare money, it's, you know, moving on to that question more, is now you have to, you know, figure out, you know, what to do with it. And and there are three things we teach, and there's real estate, there's stocks, and there's business. And that's really all there is to it. So pay off debt, start saving, and then look for ways to leverage every dollar, you know, that you've got. You know, and you must see every dollar as a almost like an employee, and you've got to, you know, you have to get your, you know, you have to make those, not even employees, almost like children in a way. You know, you're sending these dollars out into the world, and you want them to come back as quickly and safely as possible, after, you know, doing something for you, you know. And when you've worked hard for it, you appreciate the value of that dollar. You know, that's very much, I think, how you think, which is a kind of good stock trading strategy in itself, which we talked about this week, which was get your money back as quickly as possible. If I put $400 down on this stock and it goes up 100%, I could sell half and then get my money back, you know, get your money, and like a business adventure. If you're looking at it, someone's, you know, looking at a new business venture and everything, here's the capital I need to invest in it. The first thing you really should be asking is, when will I get my money back? When, at that point, you see you're in for free. You know, that's your children, your dollars coming home again. They're back home safe, you know? And that's a good way, I think, of looking at it. So in terms of stock trading, I think you want to start off with something, especially if this is your first piece of money you've got to invest, for two reasons. You don't want to be wiped out early on by doing anything crazy, and because I think you want a little taste of success to get you on the right path. So don't trade anything crazy like options, I wouldn't say. I would say just buy stocks, and something that's like a good solid pick. Probably one of our, you know best which services of ours give those picks that are those, like the almost like the Phoenix type things, or
I mean, Penny Stock Launchpad's a great one, but Midas Wave Alerts too. It's just, it's strong.
You're looking for those strong, real cherry picking. What was the other one you said? Penny Stocks. You see, you can get the great thing about that is that, you know, if you've got $100 and using a broker like, what is it, Robinhood, or something like that, who charge no fees. Trading fees. I mean, we've got stocks that we've got, like, I know one stock right now for like $2 or whatever, and like you could get 50 shares in there for $100. I mean, you know, so there's a way to get yourself going quickly, and you know, get yourself in the game. Start mm-hmm. playing your game, stop playing their game. When you've got your own money that you're investing, instead of giving it to Wall Street, you are giving the banks the finger twice.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer paying them interest, and you're no longer paying their fees for investing your money. You are now in control of your destiny.
Right.
Even if it's just a small amount, you know, it's a very big move. You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very interesting when I meet people and they say they're involved in the market, and I ask them about it, and it's, you know, oh yeah, but my fund manager handles everything. It's
right.
They're in the market. You know, they're doing okay. It's better than nothing. But by you actively managing your money, and you know, even better, allowing us to tell you where to put it, you know, you're really doing yourself a favor. But just to touch back really quick on the whole eliminating debt, just a quick word of advice. I learned that, you know, if you focus on the loans with the highest interest first and get those paid down, then, you know, you're really knocking out those greedier.
That's a good
banks,
strategy. You know, another strategy you can do, if it's possible, is to try and consolidate all debt
right.
into one lower interest paying one. So you've got this credit card there, you've got that student loan there, or whatever it is. You can get typically home equity lines, mm-hmm. or maybe a parent or someone else will help you. Could help you out here. I don't know, but they're typically very low interest HELOCs, home equity line of credit. And then use that money not to go on vacation
right.
and like go and buy a bunch of crap at the mall. Pay off all your debt
yeah.
into one low-cost loan. So now you are already starting to reduce the amount of interest paid. Remember, every dollar of interest you pay someone else for what we call bad debt,
mm-hmm.
consumer debt,
mm-hmm.
is a dollar out of your pocket. You know. Now, later on, when we come on to, you know, more advanced things where debt can actually be a very good thing, for example, mm-hmm. I think in case of real estate, but that's not what the sort of debt we're talking about. Debt can be great leverage in real estate and business. You know, I don't recommend it for stocks,
right?
Because there's other tools for that, like options. But to begin with, as we're talking about from the beginning with consumer debt, wipe it out mm-hmm. immediately. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, just to get back to the personal side of how you went through everything, was there one big mistake, whether it was in business or just in general with your money or in stocks, that you were able to learn from that really sort of, you know, a lot of the times you need to get, you know, sort of knocked down to realize that you've made a mistake, maybe it's going
yeah.
into debt. And
I mean, you've said it there, you've answered the question, because it's those times when you lose money and it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts your pride, it hurts your bank account. Now, but here's the important point about that, is that what most people will do is they will start blaming other people, or instead of learning from the experience. If you've made a financial mistake, don't sweep it under the rug, don't blame other people. Go back, look at what you did wrong, and make sure you don't make that mistake again.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of individual
right.
examples, but it would be something like, you know, I lost money
mm-hmm.
On something, and those are the best lessons. You know,
yeah.
failure is the stepping stones to success, if you look at it the right way.
Right. I mean, you know, you just have to be mechanical and getting
right.
your emotions involved, whether it's business, the stock
That's
market,
it.
Or
if you lose money on a stock, go back and get your notepad out and analyze, with the benefit of hindsight. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Analyze what you did wrong.
Mm.
And could you have done it any better?
Yeah, I know that was one thing you first showed me, Jim, when I was, you know, when I was first starting, and you know, I was under your wing. You said go back and look at, I think it was the RSI, you know,
yeah.
I know it's getting a little technical here, but going back and looking, you know, it's so clear when you see
right.
use the
power
yeah.
of hindsight
mm-hmm.
To learn from. And the great thing about course stock trading is that you don't have to put any money down to begin with.
Right.
You don't have to wait until you can get your first dollar down on stocks. You can do pretend trading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do it honestly, get a notepad out, and okay, I am saying that I'm going to buy this stock right here at this level, and you write down what you bought it for, and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's never going to be as good as real money, because when you've got real money in the game is when you've got real emotions in the game, and if anything's going to mess it up for you, it'll be your emotions. But this is a good starting point.
Mm-hmm.
While you're getting yourself out of debt, while you're building up a little pot to put in your trading account, you can play this game and learn a lot doing it. In conjunction with, you know, when any of our courses, I think, you know, as I say, Retirement Underground focuses on it particularly. I think also like Bank Raider,
yeah, Bank Raider, absolutely.
It's another good one. Even our Scripture Secrets
yeah.
covers a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So a lot to choose from.
Yeah, absolutely. Along with the, you know, the WSI TV YouTube episodes that you guys get, yeah, you know, we like to walk you through.
Tune into that. And, you know, every year at the Annual Wealth Summit, I think we go back to basics and do it well. Right. So you haven't attended one of those, you know, you definitely need to try and come to the next one.
Yeah.
Which is going to be in January, actually, next year, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be bigger and better than ever. You know, we've got more speakers here. You know, we've got fresh faces for you. You know, experts from across the industry. You know, it's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't believe it's coming around so quickly again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we've still got a little way to go, but you know, there's no reason why you can't get your seat now if you want to. So just give us a call.
Yeah. So you know, just to go back to something, you know, practical for our listeners right now that they can use right away. You know, say they're buried in debt. They start paying off those loans, those high interest loans. You know, what would you is there any one piece of advice you can give them right now, whether it's you know, motivational or even psychological for them? What sort of mindset would you tell them to attack?
Yeah, psychological is important. I would say to isolate yourself from anyone who is not like-minded as you in this current moment, because they're just frankly going to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to be around them, then you need to close your ears or ask not to talk about anything, because you don't realize on a daily basis these voices that are entering your head. You know, oh, don't get out. See, because it's the crabs in the bucket thing.
Right.
You know, it's one crab starts to try and escape, and the other crab's trying to pull that one back into the bucket. You know, that's what you're going to be up against psychologically. No, don't try and make. They want you to stay in debt like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want you to give up smoking and start saving the money instead. You know, they're just trying to pull you. So just either isolate yourself or just don't listen and focus on the higher cause. The psychology is very important at that early phase, because you what you're trying to do is form new habits, and it typically takes at least 30 days to form a new habit. And this is the most dangerous time, when you're going to turn back at the slightest bit of resistance. Like, same with an exercise regime, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be my advice right now, is to and be scientific about it. Write down all of your debt, how much you owe, and all of your assets, and put together a strong, you know, point A about where you are, and understand. And this is why it's such a great conversation, I think, is that, look, where do I begin? I hear this question a lot. Where do I begin? You start with sorting out. Get your own house in order,
mm-hmm.
and create a strong balance sheet, and that means paying off bad consumer debt,
mm-hmm.
and start saving.
Right, and I know we've talked about in terms of the importance of goal setting, how important it is to write things down. Do you think that's just as applicable to, you know, your finances, to really write down those goals and
I think
step
that's
by
I
step?
Think that's actually the bedrock of all the goals, because the foundation goal is I'm at point A, and then I want to get financially at point B, and then now it's just a question of how do I do it, you know, stop trading, everything else. So, but you see, it's a good question, because you see, let's just say, okay, in order to get to my freedom figure, this is something that we really go over in a lot of detail, as I say, at the Annual Wealth Summit, but also in the Scripture Secrets course, which is this whole A to B thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure out where I am right here financially, and then I want to work to get to financially, and that comes up with a number, let's say, okay, in order to achieve my financial independence, I need, say, $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so that is just the starting point, but that's not going to excite me in getting from A to B. And that's just a random number. My mind, it sounds exciting on the surface of it, but it's not going to be the fire in your belly. What you need to be seeing is what your life looks like when you have financial independence, right?
Mm.
So that, you know, just imagine what is my day going to look? Where will I be living? I will be out of the, you know, this job I hate. I won't be, you know, constantly having the stress of money and things like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But only you know what that dream looks like. So visualization, laser beam focus on something you really want that freedom is going to give you, not a sum of money or freedom. Let's say financial freedom, you know, financial independence. This is a relatively abstract concept, and your subconscious doesn't know what to do with that. It doesn't mean anything to your subconscious. And the subconscious is where the driving force comes from, the motivational element, the fire in your belly, the thing that's just working without you even knowing that's just going, we've all had points in our life when we've succeeded at something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think back to those points, there was another force at work. It almost wasn't a conscious effort on your part. There was something behind you. And that's the sort of thing you have to conjure up to make this happen.